Good morning. Welcome from the Ron Scott Communication Center. This is From the Stand. This hour of EAA Radio is supported by the Commemorative Air Force. CAF's mission is education so that generations of Americans will value and support the contributions of military aviation in assuring our nation's freedom. Visit CAF's website, commemorativeairforce.org, for more information. This morning, we'll talk with Lieutenant General Marianne Miller. She'll stop by to talk about the 70th anniversary of the Air Force Reserve. EAA's Chris Henry discusses the recent rededication of the B-17 Memphis Belle, and we'll close out the week talking with Steve McCaughey from the Seaplane Pilots Association. But right now, we welcome Christine Ma to our stage. Good morning, Christine.
Good morning. Welcome back. Thanks for having me.
What have you been up to since the last time we talked?
Okay. A lot.
First of all, Christine, it was the first woman to fly the F-35 Lightning II, and we talked about that a couple of years ago, but since then you've retired and are doing some pretty cool things at Lockheed.
Yeah, so I teach the simulator and academics for the F-35, training new pilots both for the Air Force and the Navy at Eglin Air Force Base. So I've been very busy with that job, and I love it. And then I've just been flying civilian as much as I can. I guess civilian just kind of goes without saying these days, but general aviation, so I really just dove right in.
Not only did you dive right in, but you bought an airplane.
I did. I bought an airplane 3 weeks ago. It's a RV6, and it's beautiful.
How many hours so far?
I think five. No, six and a half. I have six and a half in it, yeah.
See, that's where the RV grin comes from.
Yes.
Already. So obviously you didn't fly it here.
No.
Okay. But I'm sure you were checking out the other RVs in the RV line.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Looking for things to get for my airplane and done quite a bit of shopping. It's been awesome.
Well, good. Well, let's go back to your military career. You are an Air Force Academy graduate.
I am.
And at the time you were in the Academy, women were not allowed to be in the combat roles.
Not at first, no. Right. I was a freshman at the Air Force Academy when they changed that rule. I didn't even know it was a rule, a law, really.
Yes. Yeah.
But combat exclusion law was lifted in 1993, which is when I was a freshman at the United States Air Force Academy, and it was fantastic. I didn't think it was an issue, and apparently it was, but then it wasn't, so hooray.
From there, where did you end up?
So from the Air Force Academy, I went straight to pilot training at Shepherd Air Force Base in Wichita Falls, Texas. From there, I flew the T-37, the T-38, and graduated and went to Seymour Johnson Air Force Base to fly the F-15E. I did that for about 18 years, and then I transitioned to the F-35 the last 2 years of my career.
Okay. And with the F-35, what was the transition like between the 16 and the 35?
Well, yeah, from the F-15E and the F-35, it was very different because it's single seat and single engine, so that was a very strange dynamic at first to get used to. You know, we practice flameouts all the time, and the concept you have to actually turn the engine off, which is this little switch, was very difficult to get used to at first because it just seemed so weird. It's a very advanced, obviously. It's the most advanced airplane out there, so the transition to flying a stealth airplane was different with our tactics, not to mention that it's a very electronic airplane. So I love it. It was a wonderful airplane to fly, and I fly the sim now all the time and still get to teach guys, so still very involved. But all of my hours up until the moment I retired were paid for by the United States Air Force, which was awesome because yes. I loved what I did. And yeah, that was wonderful. It was a good way to pay for flight school.
Definitely. So the transition from the F-35 to the RV-6A?
Well, it's just a six. I got a tail dragger. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've got the right one then.
Of course. That's right. We no training wheel on this one. It's just different. You know, it's obviously a lot slower, but it's so much fun and so much more maneuverable. I mean, I can literally turn on a dime. So that's pretty cool. You know, pull six Gs and spin it, loop it. It's been wonderful.
And you get to fly it wherever you want.
That's right. That's right.
In your pilot training, being probably the only female in your squadron, you probably had to be pretty thick-skinned when it came to criticism or praise?
Yeah, big time. I think back then folks were just really resistant to the idea of women flying fighters, and so there were some difficulties up front. But you just kind of powered through. If you just focus on what you need to do, getting you better, you're really only competing with yourself. So I tried not to let too much of that bother me, and did pretty well. And about midway through my career, nobody really cared anymore. So that was pretty refreshing. Unfortunately, our numbers of women flying fighters are still very small. They haven't really changed much at all. And I don't know why that is, and I wish that it would change. So hopefully we can get more, you know, diversity amongst, Air Force pilots, really DOD pilots, because we certainly need them.
Lieutenant General Miller, the Chief of the Air Force Reserve, that was one of her goals taking over as Chief of the Air Force Reserve, is diversity, and not just women, but in all
of course.
Minority populations. And it's really been a struggle, But it feels like it's making a turn in numbers, a little bit, at least in general aviation. It seems that you see more female faces in the crowd.
That's good.
And especially with things like Women Venture, really promoting the fact that girls fly too, and they fly pretty well.
Big time. I think a lot of it's just exposure. You know, the more exposure you get, the more people realize, oh, that is something I can do. Let me check this out.
We're talking with Christine Ma, and a brand new RV6 owner. So you're right in the thick of things with all of us today. With your work with Lockheed, how did you make the transition from active military to Lockheed?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was very simple. I mean, I literally just took off the flight suit, put on civilian clothes, and walked down the street. That's where I work. So it's pretty much the same thing I was doing, because I was instructing flying in the airplane, but also in the sim, and now I'm just in the sim and also teaching academics. So I had a bit of a brushing up on my academics, I guess you could say, you know, learning the systems inside and out, which is something that, you know, as you get to fly tactically, you worry more about tactics as opposed to how the electronic system, it has 18 million branches and sequels. And so, yeah, now I get to be an expert on the systems of the airplane again.
You were also deployed overseas in Afghanistan for
6 months.
6 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts or any stories that stand out from that time being overseas?
Tons of stories. My favorite mission ever of all time. I was in Afghanistan, took off as a two ship. I'm leading. We get airborne. We hit the tanker. No sooner do I connect than the controlling agency tells us, hey, we've got an immediate tasking for you. You need to go over here and contact these people, which were special forces guys. So, okay. I leave my wingman on the tanker, and I'm in full afterburner, supersonic, trying to check in quickly because these things happen fast. It's a high-value asset that they were going after. And as it was the one of the guys, he was the number one Haqqani dude in Afghanistan, and he had just was responsible for the blowing up of the International Hotel there in Kabul. So we checked in, and within 30 seconds had dropped a 2,000-pound bomb on this grouping of Haqqani network bad guys in this very steep mountain in Afghanistan. From there, we then dropped six more 500-pounders, and then we got to shoot every round that we had. So we pretty much came back Winchester that day, and we killed a lot of bad guys. So they found a weapons cache, all sorts of things. So it was a really productive mission, and we got who we needed to. It was very rewarding.
Good. And so I don't forget, thank you for your service.
Yesterday
was our Salute to Veterans Day, and we've been blessed to have a number of veterans join us here on the stand, including you. So, again, thank you for your service. With the RV, do you have any plans to go any long-distance cross countries?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm, general aviation is new to me. It is a very different dynamic. I've been very humbled, and so I'm just going to take it, crawl, walk, run. I'm enjoying it, but no, I'm not going to plan any, like, cross countries to the other side of the United States or to South America, but I am going to catch one of the forums. I'm going to the Bahamas because that's on my list.
Yes. Yeah. And that, amazingly, is easier than people think. It's just that short flight over water, and you're there.
Right. In a single-engine prop airplane. So we'll see. Yeah. It's all new to me.
We've talked to the folks from the Bahamas, and they are very, very welcoming and accommodating and just want to encourage that. So I encourage you.
It's on my list.
Not only to take the forum in, but also to make that flight.
Yeah.
It'll be nice and comfortable. And your family's still doing well?
Yeah. So my two daughters, 9 and 12, they don't quite have the flying bug yet, but they don't love it, but they don't hate it. So, hey, you want to fly? Yeah. So I've been teaching them a little bit. They're not super stoked about it. To them, you know, having a mom who's a pilot's just like, isn't everybody's mom a pilot?
Right.
It's not a big deal. But again, they're learning to fly, and the RV is much easier for them because they can actually see over the top,
right,
and it's much smaller, so they've done pretty well. So hopefully they'll continue to foster that. They love flying over the beaches in Destin, Florida, where we live, and so that's what we've been doing.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. I see you're wearing a Warbirds of America shirt. The last time we talked, you had hoped to someday fly in or fly a P-51 or something like that. Is that come true yet?
I got to fly a P-51 at the Breckenridge Air Show. It was awesome. Bucket list item. It was very, very cool. So a friend of ours brought his P-51 there, took me up. I had a blast. So I'm still working on my T-6 time, and I hope to start flying with the CAF with the WASP squadron there in Dallas soon, and bringing that to air shows. That's my plan. Maybe one day a P-51.
Okay. Do you want to put in a plug for Lockheed or the Air Force? Encourage anybody to join up?
You know, as people look around at all the different universities and options there are for flight school, I would just want to encourage folks that the United States military is a wonderful option. I enjoyed my pilot training. It was world class. The airplanes you're flying are all phenomenal jets. I mean, just cutting edge technology. And it's a really rewarding career. So I think that it's a wonderful option that people should really consider.
And not only for pilots, but there are also many, many other support roles that are
Absolutely.
Out there. So if you're not necessarily have the flying bug, it's, there's
right.
plenty of career
and
options.
And I'm a little partial to the Air Force, so go Air Force. But, hey, you know, military service has been wonderful.
That's good. Christine, enjoyed our time together this morning. And keep building up those hours in the RV. And we'll look for you in the Wasp T6.
That's right.
At an air show soon.
So. And I'll bring the RV here next year. So
All right. Yeah. We'll look for it.
Thanks.
Thank you. And this is From the Stand, and you're listening to EIA Radio.